Sechtes Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Samach Vav, 13 lines from the bottom of Daf Kuf Samach Hayom Beis at the new Mishnah. Before beginning the new Mishnah, let's point out that the Mishnah will discuss various type of coins, and the Mishnah will discuss Zuzin as well as Sloyan, and the difference between a Zuz and a Sela is as follows. A Zuz is commonly called a dinar. Think of a Zuz as a quarter and a Sela as a dollar. Therefore, there are four Zuz or four dinrin in every single Sela, and we also know that a mana refers to 100 Zuz or 100 dinrin. And if you have 100 quarters, that would equal $25 or 25 sela. And our Mishnah now begins, Kasa by Zuzameya de Inan Sloyan Esrin, Ainloy Ella Esrin, that there's a star where it's written that Shimon owes Ruvain 100 Zuzin, which equals 20 Sloyan. And we certainly know that this is not true, as we know that 100 Zuzin would equal 25 Sloyan, and therefore there's a steer between the Reisha and the Sefer of this star. So since there's a cloud of Amitzi Mechaveir Olavaraya and Yad Balashtar Achtachtein, therefore Reuven would only be able to collect from Shimon 20 sela. He would not be able to collect 25 sela, and he wouldn't be able to collect the full 100 zuz that is originally stated in the shtar. And Rashbam explains on the first of the wide lines at the bottom of the Amid, as we explained, that there's really no stira in the shtar, as b'shem makach pirish mei zuzim guruim v'chaserim she'enu shalvin el chavzoim. Although the shtar states that Reuven lent Shimon 100 zuz, but they wanted to clarify that they were really shvacha dinrin and they only equal 20 sloyim. And the Mishnah continues that the reverse would also be true. Zuzim meyer de inu tlosin sloyim ein loy alamana, that if they write in the shtar that Reuven lent to Shimon 100 zuz, which equals 30 sloyim, and as we know it really equals 25 sloyim, then lemaisa we still say hamitzim chevel raya and yad bal shtar tachteina. Therefore, Reuven would only be able to collect 25 sloyim or exactly 100 zuz. And once again, the Rashbam explains sheyesh lefarish kach zuzim meyer de inu tlosin sloyim kalim sheinim shavim elachof. As we explain, it seems clear that the Rashbam is bothered that l'chayr, if we're going to say that it's clearly a stira between the reisha and the safe of the shtar, then we notice the machlekes between Rav and Shmuel, if tveis lashon rishon or tveis lashon achrein, and l'chayr, why don't we say that this should be based on the same machlekes between Rav and Shmuel, and therefore the Rashbam explains that it's not relevant to the machlekes between Rav and Shmuel. In the case of tveis lashon rishon and tveis lashon achrein, there's clearly a stira between the two diburim. However, our Mishnah is discussing cases where it is not necessarily a stira between the two diburim and between the two things that were written in the shtar. Therefore, it's not going to be tolui on the machlekes between Rav and Shmuel, and all will agree yad bal shtar tachtoina and amitzim mechaver al v'raya. The Rashba is bothered by the same question, and the Rashba states leshayach b'chihay tveis lashon rishon and lashon achrein in sayeya v'loy lahakshes loy l'rav v'loy l'shmuel shenechelku b'tveis lashon rishon and tveis lashon achrein. The Mishnah continues, Kesef Zuzin de Inun v'nimchak, that let's say the shtar stated that Reuven lent to Shimon Kesef Zuzin, and then it states the Inun, which total, then the next words were nimchak, and they were erased, and it's not nikkur what it states. So ein pachas mishtayim, since the shtar stated Zuzin, which is a lashon rabim, which definitely means at least two zuz, therefore Reuven could collect a minimum of two zuz. The Mishnah continues and brings two other examples of the same din. Number one, kesef sloyan de inun v'nimchak, that if the shtar stated that Reuven lent Shimon kesef sloyan de inun, and then the rest is erased and it's not nikkur, once again we say tahmeitim mechaveh olraya and yad bal shtar tachteina, and therefore the minimum that Reuven could collect is at least two sloyan, as l'maisa he stated a lashon kesef sloyan, which is a lashon rabim. And finally, the Mishnah tells us that koinus de inun v'nimchak in pachas mishtayim, if the shtar stated that Reuven lent Shimon dakoinis, and a dakoin is a gold coin which is double the weight of a sela and double the value of a sela. And as we explained, a sela is like a dollar, and therefore a dakoin would be like $2. And then that amount that it states after the inun was erased, and we can't tell what it states after that. So once again, the minimum that Reuven would be able to collect from Shimon is two dakoinis, since his shtar used the lashon rabim. And Ayin Mefarshim who discuss why the Mishnah brings three different examples of the same halacha. And the Mishnah continues, and if closer to the top of the shtar they wrote that Reuven lent Shimon $100, then at a later point in the shtar when they're recapping the shtar they wrote that Reuven lent $200, or in the opposite scenario at the beginning of the shtar they wrote that Reuven lent Shimon $200, and then at a later point in the shtar they wrote that Reuven lent $100, although previously we stated that the Malva should always only be able to collect the lower amount, want. However, the Mishnah teaches us that in these cases, we look at what it states at the end of the shtar, and Rashbam explains that certainly this din only applies as long as this amount is not written in the last line, and as we previously learned, in Lemeidim Mishita Achreina, that we can't learn anything from the last line of the shtar, and therefore, if at the beginning of the shtar it stated $200, and on the last line of the shtar it states $100, then we would ignore that amount, and certainly we wouldn't be able to collect $200. Mishnah continues, Im Kein Lama Kaisen Se'elyon, if we're going to follow whatever it states at the end of the shtar, why is it that we write this detail at the beginning of the shtar? For example, even in a case where the shtar states that Reuven lent Shimon $100, both at the beginning and the end of the shtar, or it states that Reuven lent Shimon $200, both at the beginning and the end of the shtar, then L'chari, there was no reason to write both of these times. Why would we have a recap in the shtar, and let's just say that amount one time closer to the end of the shtar? The Mishnah explains, Shim Timchak Eis Achas Min HaTachton Yilmar Min HaAlyon, that if one letter would be missing from the end of the shtar, then we could learn that from the beginning of the shtar, and that is the Gersa that we have in our Mishnah. However, based on the Rashbam, later on in the Sugya, it seems that Rashbam is Gersh, Shim Leikosov Eis Achas Min HaTachton Yilmar Min HaAlyon, that's not talking about a case where one letter was erased, but let's say there's a difference between the top part of the shtar and the end of the shtar. For example, in the top part of the shtar, it states that the name of the borrower was Hanani, and at the end of the shtar, it states that the name of the borrower was Hanon. So in that case, we would state that they made a mistake and they forgot to put in the extra yud, and in Hanami, the beginning and the end of the shtar should be the same, and really the borrower was Hanani, as we will see. Before we continue, let's point out that in this last case of the Mishnah of Kasabay Mumalam Mono, Mumatam Sayim, Mumalam Sayim, Mumatam Mono, where the Mishnah stated HaKol HaLechacha Tachtoin, in this case, there's certainly a steer between the ratio of the shtar and the sefer of the shtar, and L'chari, we see that with Tfais Lashon Achrein, L'chari, we should be able to bring a raya from our Mishnah, who the machlek is between Rav and Shmuel, if Tfais Lashon Rishon or Tfais Lashon Achrein. The Rashba explains, because in that Gemara, both Lashonis were stated at one time, but over here, where one Lashon was written at the beginning of the shtar, a different Lashon was written at the end of the shtar, Boros Shetar B'tchilo B'cheshboinoi, V'tikinas T'usoi B'hemshech HaShtar, K'shekosav Shul Mesoschom, V'lkachol Chon Achat Tachtoin, and therefore everyone agrees that in our case we go Basa the Tachtoin and not Basa the Lashon Rishon. In our Gemara begins, Tanar Rabbanan, we learned the Braisa, and when that goes to word Omar, and the Gemara continues, Kesef in Pachas Medina Kesef, that the Shtar states that Reuven lent Shimon Kesef, so the minimum amount that Shimon would owe Reuven is a dinar of silver, which the Gemara will explain is the smallest denomination of a coin, and therefore we state on Meitzim Mechavel Raya, and all that Shimon owes Reuven is the smallest denomination, and he only owes a dinar, or as we explained, a quarter. The Braisa continues, Kesef Dinrin V'Dinrin Kesef. The Shtar states that Reuven lent Shimon Kesef Dinrin or Dinrin Kesef, in Pachis Mishnei Dinrin Kesef, that the minimum amount that Shimon owes to Reuven is at least two Dinrin of Kesef, since they use Lashon Rabbim of Dinrin. The Braisa continues, Kesef B'Dinarin, in Pachis Mishnei Dinarin, Dahav Kesef. If the Shtar stated that Reuven lent to Shimon Kesef in Dinrin, then Shimon would be responsible to pay Reuven back in silver. He would have to pay back Reuven silver that has the value of two gold dinrin, and as Rashbam explained, the kesef b'dinrin mashma, kesef love of pliny m'pliny, shav v'shnei dinrin shozav. In the ma'isa, the Gemara will be bothered, the l'chari, why don't we say ha'maisi mechavei l'v'raya, since they use the term of dinrin, so l'chari it's mashma dinri kesef, and why would you have to pay based on gold dinrin? Rashbam explained that based on this question, the Gemara will explain, shekosef kesef b'dinri, mashma b'dinri zav, that in Chanami, although in our Mishnah we stated that Reuven stated kesef b'dinrin, however the shtar actually didn't stay dinrin, but it stated kesef b'dinrei, and the word dinrei refers to gold dinrin. Rashbam continues, al b'dinrin haynu shnei dinarin shel kesef, but in Chanami, if the shtar would have stated dinrin, then it would have referred to silver dinrin and not to gold dinrin. Gemara now continues and explains this b'raisa, as Amamar, we just learned to the b'raisa, kesef in pachas b'dinu kesef, and the Gemara is, ve'im menasko, maybe when it states in the shtar that Reuven lent to Shimon kesef, didn't mean that he actually lent him a silver coin, and since the smallest coin is a dinar, therefore Shimon owes at least a dinar, but maybe it means that Reuven lent to Shimon a piece of silver. The value of this piece of silver would even be less than a dinar, and l'chayr we should state hamisim mechavei l'v'raya. The Gemara explains Amar Belozer the kosef b'matbea that in a chanami the shtar did not just say the word kesef, but it says that it was a matbea of kesef. Therefore, we know that Shimon borrowed a silver coin from Reuven, and since the smallest coin is a dinar, therefore Shimon would owe Reuven at least a dinar. And the Gemara continues and asks ve'im apriti, and let us say that Reuven lent Shimon a pruta and not a dinar, and how do you know that he lent him a dinar? And l'chayr, based on the din of hamitzim mechavei l'v'raya, Shimon should have to pay Reuven the amount of a pruta of silver, even though though most prutas were made out of nechashis, but the Gemara's question is not only on a pruta, the Gemara's question on any other coin that's smaller than a dinar, and why don't we say Amesim Mechabel Raya? Rav Papa responds, but Asr Dele Sagi Pruta, the Kaspar, that we're talking about a place, the smallest silver coin that they would use was a dinar, and even though they may have used coins that were smaller than a dinar, but the Maisa, those coins were not made out of silver, since the Shtar clearly states that Reuven lent Shimon a silver coin, therefore it has to be at least a dinar. Gemara continues, Tanur Rabbanon, and brings you another brisa, and it would seem this is a different brisa completely. However, I and Rishayim that say that this is actually a continuation of the previous brisa. This brisa is like the sefer of the previous brisa, and the previous brisa spoke about silver coins, and this brisa will talk about gold coins. The brisa states, Dahav in Pachas Medina Dahav, if the Shtar states that Reuven lent to Shimon Dahav, once again we would say Tamitza Mechavel Raya, and therefore Shimon would owe to Reuven at least one dinar of gold, but not more. However, the brisa continued, Dahav Dinrin or Dinrin Dahav in Pachas Mishnei Dinrin Dahav, if the Shtar stated that Reuven lent to Shimon the hav of dinrin or dinrin of gold, since they use the lashon of dinarin, which is lashon rabim, therefore the minimum amount that Shimon would owe to Reuven is 2 dinrin of gold. And finally, the brisa states the hav bedinrin in pachas mibshtei dinarin kesef the hav. If the shtar stated that Reuven lent to Shimon the hav bedinrin, then we would understand that Reuven lent Shimon a piece of gold that was worth the amount of 2 dinarin of silver, and he would only have to give him back a small piece of gold that has the value of 2 dinarin of kesef. Rashbam, who once again explains the difference between the first and second brisas, as in the first brisa, even though the brisa stated kesef bedinarin, however the shtar actually stated kesef bedinri, therefore we say that we're talking about dinri zav. However, in this case that we just brought, shtar actually stated kesef bedinarin and actually used the term dinarin, which refers to silver coins. And the Gemara now continues, and once again the Gemara will explain this brisa as Amamar. We just learned that this brisa the hav in pachas bedinri hav, and the Gemara is a menaska. How do we know that Reuven lent to Shimon a gold coin? If maybe Reuven lent to Shimon a piece of gold, Shimon would not owe an actual gold coin. We would say he would owe Reuven a small piece of gold that wasn't even a coin. And Amar Rabbi Elazar, the custom matbeya. And once again, Rabbi Elazar explains that the shtar actually stated that it was a matbeya, and therefore Shimon has to pay Reuven smallest gold coin based on the concept of amitzu mechaveil of raya. Continue on daf kuf samach vav min aleph, and the Gemara once again asks ve'ima priti. Why would we say that Shimon owes Reuven a dinar zav, if l'chayr he should owe him a pruta, and he should owe him the smallest gold coin? Once again, even though the Gemara uses the term pruta, it just means to say that he should owe him the smallest gold coin. The Gemara answers, and some agarius, Amra Papa, that once again, Rav Papa is the one who gives this teretz, that pruta the hava, loy avi inshi, that l'maisa, it wasn't normal for them to create any prutas, so any small coins made out of gold, and when they would create any coins made out of gold, the smallest amount would be a dinar. Therefore, Shimon would owe to Reuven at least a dinar zav. And the Mefarshim explained that the value of a dinar zav was 25 times the amount of the value of a dinar of kesef. Although both of the terutzim of Rav Papa seems to be exactly the same, however, Ayin Rashbam that states at the top of the Amid, Prita de Havale of the Inshi, Bishum Asra, that this wasn't made in any area. Certainly, the smallest denomination of gold coinage was a dinar. However, in the previous Brisa, Rav Papa's teretz was, then this specific land, smallest value of a silver coin was a dinar, ayin sham. L'maisa, when the Gemara asked ve'im menascha, we explained the Gemara's question based on Rabbi Yonatan that is brought in Taisus at the top of Daf Kuf Samach Vav Min Aleph, and Taisus brings down Rabbi Yonatan Perish b'tshuvasai the nascha guia that a nascha is smaller than a dinar, and therefore the Gemara asked ve'im menascha mekoyach tiyad bal shtar tachtoina ayin sham, and Taisus himself is bothered with his pshat, and therefore Taisus states ve'im Rebbe the nascha chashiva tuva, really a small piece of silver that's not a coin is actually more expensive, has more value than a dinar of silver, even though generally we should state Hamaytzi Mechavel Raya and Yad Bala Shtar Tachtoino, and therefore certainly he meant a dinar kesef. However, Taisus explains Kivin Shekosav Stam Eimu Dehainu Nascha the Mistama Kachrei Tzulema even Shalai Pirish Hamatbeya, since the Shtar was written Stama, the Shtar did not clarify what type of coin Reuven lent to Shimon. Therefore, we should say that it must be that Reuven didn't lend a coin to Shimon, and instead he lent him a piece of silver, and L'maisa they knew the exact size of nascha and what the standard was when someone would give someone a nascha. And also, let's explain that although originally when the Gemara asked Ve'im Priti and Amar Papa ba'asud le'sagi Priti the Kaspar, and then on Kuf Samach Vav Min Aleph when the Gemara asked Ve'im Priti, we were Gurus Amar Papa, and he used a slightly different variation of the Lashon, and he stated Priti the Havale of the Inshi, and we explained this based on Rashbam. However, Ayin Taisus, who's bothered by this question, and he points out Vletik Shahad Kama Hasam Prita the Kaspa of the Inchi, Vahakama Baasudli Sagi Prita the Kaspa, Ayin Sham. The Gemara continues to discuss the second Brysa, as the Brysa stated Zahab Bidinrin. If the Shtar stated that Reuven lent to Shimon Zahab Bidinrin, then in Pachis Mubishte Dinar and Kesav Zav, and Shimon would be Chayiv to pay to Reuven a piece of gold that had the value of 2 dinar of Kesav. The Gemara now asks that how do you know that Shimon borrowed from Reuven a piece of gold with the value of 2 dinar of Kesav? The aim of the Havapricha betrayed Dinri the Havakama, but maybe Reuven actually lent to Shimon a piece of gold that had the value of 2 golden dinarin. How do you know that he meant 2 silver coins? And the Gemara explains Amabaya, and Abaya explains that certainly it's Pashut that Yabal Shtar Tachtoino, that since we have a question if he meant gold or he meant silver coins, and certainly we say Amaisi Mechavel Raya and Yabal Shtar Tachtoino, certainly we could only be Mechayev Shimon to pay Reuven a piece of gold that has the value of 2 silver dinarim. Then Mefarshim take out the next 3 lines, based on the Rashbam, we are Gurus, Yahachi Reishanami, that Lachuri, if we're going to say that the Din is Amaitzi Mechabel Raya, then Lachuri in the Reisha, which Rashbam explains, is referring to the first Brysa that we brought down, as well as the Reisha of the second Brysa that we brought down. The Gemara's question is as follows, that Lachuri in the first Brysa, where the Ushtar stated Kesab Bidinrin, we explain that in Pachad Mubishte Dinrin Dahav Kesab, Shimon would owe Reuven a piece of silver that has the value of 2 gold dinrin, and Lachuri, why don't we say that since it says Lashin Dinrin, and we're not sure if that means gold or silver coins, so we should say Hamaisi Mechavel Raya, and all that Shimon should owe Reuven is a piece of silver that has the value of 2 silver dinrin and not 2 gold dinrin. Similarly, in the ratio of the second Brysa that we brought down, which we explained is really the end of the first Brysa, and therefore it's really the Sefer of the first Brysa, but in the ratio of the Sefer, where the Brysa states that the Shtar stated the Hav Dinrin or Dinrin the Hav, in Pachas Mishte Dinrin the Hav, that Shimon will be Chayiv to pay Reuven at least 2 gold dinrin, and Lachari, why don't we say that since it states the Hav Dinarin or Dinarin the Hav, and we're not sure if Dinarin refers to gold dinrin or to silver dinrin, then we should state Yad Bala Shtar Tachtoino, and I'm going to make a veil of Raya, and all that Shimon should be chayav to pay Reuven the value of 2 silver dinarin and not 2 gold dinarin. Let us remember that we discussed this point when we learned the Brisos, and Amar Rav Ashi explains Reish the Kasa Dinrei Sefer the Kasa Dinarin in a Chanami. Although in the first Brisa the Brisa used Lashon of Kesef Bidinarin in Pachad Mibishtei Dinarin to have Kesef, really we should be Gurus Kesef Bidinrei that in Pachad Mibishtei Dinarin to have Kesef. Over there, there is no suffix that the word Dinrei always refers to gold dinarin, and similarly in the ratio of the Sefer, we shouldn't be gurus that the Shtar stated the Hav Dinarin or Dinarin to have, but the Shtar actually stated the Hav Dinrei or Dinrei to have, and therefore it's clear that it was referring to gold dinarin, and therefore certainly it was clear that Shimon has to pay Reuven based on gold dinarin and not based on silver dinarin. However, in the last case of the second Brysa, the Gersa should remain, and it actually stated in the Shtar that Reuven lent Shimon the Hav Bidinrin, and he used the Lashon of Dinarin, as Rashbam explains, clearly refers to silver coins and silver dinarin, and I and other Rishonim who explain that the word dinarin could mean silver and could mean gold. However, Lemaisa, we would state Hamaisi Mechavel Raya and Yad Bala Shtar Tachtoino. I and Rashbam, Reisha, the Kos of Dinrei, the Mashma Dinrei Zahav, our dinarin Stam, Mashma Shel Kesef, I and Shom. And I and Yad Rema, who states, Om Rabashi, Reisha, the Chsiv Dinrei, Beloy Nun, the Mashma Dinrei Zahav, Sefer, the Chsiv Bei Dinarin, Benun, the Mashma Dinrei Kesef, Vuha Dinami, Lach Brysa, Achriti, Diktoni Kesef Bedinrei, and Pachas Bimishnei Dinarin, the Hav Kesef, Limusukma, Elka Goin, the Chsiv Bei, Kesef Bedinrei, Beloy Nun, Kedichsiv Nalael, Vashbin and Bechoda, Vuha Din Beidoch. The Meiri explains that the reason why when someone writes Dinarim Stoma, it refers to silver dinarin, and when someone writes Dinrei, it refers to gold dinrim, that is because the standard dinarim were made out of silver, and when someone wanted to say that if talking about gold dinarim, then definitely they would say Dinrei Zav. Therefore, if someone wrote Dinrei, really he wanted to write Dinrei Zav, but he used an abbreviation, and he stated Dinrei instead, and that refers to gold dinarim. Rav Ashi continues, Dinarin, and how do I know there's a chiluk between the Lashon Dinrei, which means gold, the Lashon Dinarin, which refers to silver dinrin, the Tnan, and as we learned in the Mishnah Masechtas Krisis, we will read the entire beginning of the Mishnah, and then we will explain it. As the Mishnah states, Ha'ish Shaila, Safa Chamish Ledoi, Safa Chamish Zivais, Mevia Karban Echad, Vo'echels Pizvachim, Ina Shar Lea Chayva, however, Ha'ole Chamish Ledis Vadois, or Chamish Zivis Vadois, Mevia Karban Echad, Vo'echels Pizvachim, Vashar Lea Chayva, as we know, that Yoledis, who has a child becomes Tamei, not only does she have to go to the mikvah to become Tar, but she is also one of those that a Mechusri Kippurim, the only way that she could eat Kachim is only if she brings a car. carbon. If she is a wealthy person, then she would bring a keves for an oila and a tari ben yoino for a chatas. And if she is not wealthy, then she would bring two tarim and she would bring one for a chatas and one for an oila. Similarly, if a woman has three reis of dam on three separate days that are not during the standard days that she sees a period, during the period of time that is called yudaf yoyim shabay nida lenida, when she sees dam on three separate days, she would consider the zavag deila. Not only would she be tamei for 7 days and she would require a shiva nekiyim, but she would also be required to bring a carbon of shtei tarim or shnei b'dei yoyna echel ha'ilu v'echel ha'chatas. Until she brings that carbon, then she would not be able to eat kachim. This Mishnah teaches us that if there's a woman who's a suffolk yoledes, for example, she had a discharge, there's a suffolk of ruach apila or nefil apila, then she give birth to an actual stillborn, therefore she would be considered a yoledes and she would be chayev to bring a carbon, or she was mapel or ruach, she would not be chayev to bring a carbon, she would not be defined as a yoledes. Similarly, in a case where a woman loses track, if she's during her Yemei Nidais or Yemei Ziva, she then sees dam 3 days in a row, and there's a suffolk if she's a Nida and she's not chayev a carbon, and there's a suffolk if she's a Zava and she's chayev to wait Zayin Akiyim and also bring a carbon. The Mishnah is discussing a case where this occurred 5 different times. So the Mishnah teaches us that although generally we don't bring a suffolk carbon into the Beis HaMikdash, however, b'negeya the din of Zava and the din of Yoledes, and we would allow her to bring a carbon chatas and a carbon oila based on the potential that she's chayev to bring these carbonis. And although generally a chatas is nechal, this chatas will be buried. The Maisa, once she brings one of these sets of carbonis, then she'll be able to eat kachim, as we look at this carbon as if it was brought for the last of these suffolk ladies or the last of these suffolk zebris. Just like if someone becomes tame 5 different times and they go to the mikveh once, then at this point they're tar, even though they became tame 5 different times. This concept also works when she wants to bring a carbon in order to be matahar to eat kachim, and as long as she brings those carbonis for the last of these fakers, so then she will be mutter to eat kachim. Even though we allowed her to bring these carbonis, that is because we want to make sure that she could eat kachim and she doesn't stay in the status of being a suffolk forever. However, Rabbanim wanted to minimize this heter, and therefore they only gave a heter to bring these carbonis in order to make sure that she's going to be mutter to eat kachim. However, anything more than that, they weren't matter, and therefore she could only bring one set of carbonis, and she can't bring more than those carbonis. Therefore, the Mishnah teaches us that in this case, that she doesn't have an obligation to bring the rest of the carbonis. However, in a case where you have a woman that's a vada yoledes 5 different times, or you have a woman that's vada yezava gdeila 5 different times, then certainly she's chayav to bring 5 separate carbonis. However, once she brings one set of carbonis for the last of her births or for the last of her zava gdeila periods, then certainly she'll be mutter to eat kachim, just like if she went to the mikveh one time. However, lemaisa, she'll have to bring the other 4 sets of carbonis at a later point. Ayin Rashbam, in the first of the wide lines, adav kuf samach vavim nalef, ein ashar ala chayva, shebekoshi etiru lahavi chatas oif ala safik, kedei latar misafik tomais, mishunda hi chatas, oz lel kfura, kiva de mitar bekarbon echa, kadarinu mesechtas krisis, dumi de isha tmeya, de mechayev chamish tfilais, o tfila achas mitaris, su lemaisi chatas misafik, lavi le beis apsol. However, where there's a certain chiv, then bashar ala chayva, o chagan shiyodo la acham lois, ava ala lida shebetech mlois, nefteris bekarbon echa dal shneem, umizayis terisi, let us nafkalon perik abba mechusri kapara, ayin sham. The Mishnah continues, maisa va'amdu kinim v'yushlayim bidinrei, that it was a story where based on the man, the price for a set of birds went up to a gold dinner. It was very expensive and people couldn't bring their carbonis and therefore they weren't able to eat kachim. Amrav Shimon Gamliel, or Shimon Gamliel stated, hamayin azem, olam ha'layla achiyu bidinarin, that the maisa of Shimon Gamliel made a nedah based on the Beis HaMikdash, and he said that I won't sleep tonight until the price of a pair of birds goes down to a dinner of kesef. In Lemaisa, we already see the raya to this concept of Rav Ashi, there's a difference between the word dinrei and the word dinarin. The Mishnah stated that the story was va'andu kinim b'yushlayim bidinrei, and that refers to gold dinarin. And then Rav Shimon Gamliel stated that I won't go to sleep until it goes down to dinarin, which refers to silver dinarin. And let's keep in mind that when we learned this Mishnah, we actually were gurus differently than our Gemara, as in our Gemara, the guess is ma'isa va'andu kinim b'yushlayim bidinrei zav. However, Ayin Taisis, who states that we should be gurus bidinrei, as certainly if the words were bidinrei zav, then certainly that means gold dinrin, and that's not a chiddush, as the word dinrei is attached to the word zav. The Maisa of Ashi's whole point is that if we use the term dinrei without the word zav, then it refers to gold dinrin, not to silver dinrin, and the only way that this raya would work out is only if we not gurus the word dinrei zav, and instead we gurus that Maisa v'amdu kinim b'shlayim bidinrei ayin sham. Gemara continues and tells us how Rav Shimon Gamliel made sure that the the price of the pair of birds went down, and nichtasel bezdin, and he went into bezdin v'limen, and he taught us ha'isha shehoyo olel chamish ladies vadois, chamish ziv vadois, that even if a woman had five ladies vadois, and she's chayiv five karbonos bevadai, or she had five zivos vadois, and she's chayiv five karbonos mevir carbon echad veichals bezvachim, then she'd only have to bring one carbon, and she eats zvachim ve'in hashal le'achiva, and the rest of them would not be an obligation, and she would only have to bring one carbon for all of these periods of being a zava or all of these ladies. Ayin Rashbam, the Rav Shimon Gamliel wasn't going to make up halacha, but he was basing this on a psak of Rabbi Kiva. The Rabbi Kiva actually holds that even if a person has five ladies or is a zava gdaila five different times, b'tayis badai, then they would still only be chayat to bring one carbon, as the Gemara learns out from Sukkim. Continue on daf kuf samach vavam beis, and the Gemara tells us the end of the story. The lemaisa based on this new halacha, the demand for birds went down significantly, and therefore these pairs of birds were now able to be purchased for a quarter of a dinar kesef. As we previously explained, a dinar kesef is 1/25th of a dinar zav, as a dinar zav is 25 times the price of a dinar kesef. And since the price of a pair of birds is now a quarter of a dinar kesef, that is actually 1% of the original price of one dinar of zav, and the prices went down significantly. Gemara continues and quotes from Mishnah that the Mishnah stated, "Kasbei mumal mano mumat masayim or mumal masayim mumat mano hakol eglach achat tachtoin." The Mishnah asks, "Im kain lama kaisin se elyoin?" And the Mishnah explains, "Shem timchak is achas mina tachtoin yilmer mina elyoin." Or as we stated that the Rashbam is goyis, "Im loikos of is achas mina tachtoin yilmer mina elyoin." Gemara begins, "Tanar rabbanon, we learned in the brayso yilmer na tachtoin mina elyoin, but is achas." When there's one letter that's missing, then you can learn the bottom from the top. Avoloi b'shtei oises, but if there's a difference between the top and the bottom, and the difference is two letters, then you wouldn't be able to learn one from the bottom, and then we would actually follow what it states on bottom, as we previously learned. Hakol eloch achat tachtoin. Gemara states, "Kegoyin chanan mechanani va'anam anani." If the top of the star states chanani and the bottom states chanan, or if the top of the star states anani and the bottom states anan, so we're missing one letter, and therefore we can learn from the ratio that chanani or anani is the one that owes this money. And the Gemara asks, "Maishna shtei oisis deloy?" The why is it that regarding one ois that we're able to learn from the beginning of the star, where there's two letters that are missing, we're not able to learn from the top of the star and from the beginning of the star? And the Gemara explains that it must be because Dil Misram Yishem Ben Abba Oisyeis V'Havlei Palga Dishmor. Potentially there will be a star where the beginning of the star mentions the name of the borrower whose name has four letters, and Rabbeinu Gershon gives an example of Nachar, and then on the bottom of the star the name is written as Noyach, which is half of the original name, and you can't learn the end of the star from the beginning of the star where you're trying to learn 50% of the name. If this is the reason, then L'chari we should have the same chash and same problem, even if there's only one missing letter. And why would we say that where the end of the star is only missing one letter, we would always be able to learn from the beginning of the star? We would be Yilmei Tachtum in Elyoin. And as the Gemara is, Yehachi Ois Achas Nami Dil Misrami Shem Ben Shtei Oisyeis V'Havlei Palga Dishmar. Similarly, there is the same possibility that the beginning of the star stated that the borrower's name was Noyach or Don or Shem and had two letters, and if the seif is missing one letter, you'll also be filling in half of the name, and we should also be misakin that we can't learn tachtam in elyoin. Because of this question, the Gemara explains, El shtei oiseis hainu taimo dil misrami shem ben shalosh oiseis v'havalei rubi dishma, that in the chanami we wouldn't have an issue lumoi tachtam in elyoin, even if it would be 50% of the name. The only time that we would have an issue is only when trying to be yilmei tachtam in elyoin, where there are two letters missing and is most of the original name that is missing. For example, if at the beginning of the shtar the name of the Levi was written as Levi or Moshe or David, or as the Meiri states, Ami or Asi, and then at the end of the shtar there was missing two letters and there was only one letter written that could really be an abbreviation of the original name, the Rabbanim made a takana that we shouldn't learn Tachtam and Elyoin, as that is not normal to leave out two letters and abbreviate the name by taking out Roiv the letters. Ayin Rashbam that states, "The Kule Haile Afinam Melyoin Sheshtei Oises Leichisa Seifa V'Yinosin Amamen L'Misha Shmoy Kach K'Moshe Kasa B'Tachtoin." However, since it would never be possible that by missing one letter it would be Roiv of a person's name, as even if at the beginning of the document the Roiv's name was written with two letters, and for example the name was written as Don or Noyach or Shem or God, even if at the end of the document you were missing one letter, it is still only 50% of the original name. So the Rabbanon never made this takono, and you could always learn Tachtam and Elyoin. As we mentioned, Rashbam learned that our sugi is talking about a case where the sefer left out one or two letters. However, Ayin Rabbeinu Gershom that states, "The vade is achas inim chekes leis seru b'dishma, and we see that Rabbeinu Geshem is learning our sugya. The Mishnah is discussing scenarios where one or two letters were erased from the shtar. Ein in Taisis dima maschel dum misram Hashem ben shalosh oisyes. With Taisis es tema heichad lo yaviruba mia amay lo yumay tachtim el yoyin. And for example, if the original name was written as Hanani or Anani, and then at the end it was written as Chein or Ein, and was missing two letters, it isn't roiva the name, and only 50% of the name is missing. So why wouldn't be able to learn tachtim el yoyin? And Taisis explains that since there is a potential that two letters that are missing will be roiva of the original name, if the original name was written with three letters, so the Rabbanim made this takana, and they weren't mechalik between various scenarios, as we generally have a klal that like polo chacham b'takanosam. However, Taisis continues and is bothered v'temhu ligzo bachrini ulafsidoi mishum hachkashasha. L'chorah, Taisis seems to be bothered that we already mentioned multiple times that we usually try to find ways to allow the malva to collect and to try to make sure that we don't void shtaris. It seems that based on this takana, it will be a very severe outcome, and in many cases where the sofer will leave out multiple letters, then the malva will not be able to collect. Let's keep in mind that l'chorah, the fidel loshin that we brought down from the Rashbam, it seems to be shver, as ikka chosim and asefa, as the issue in the Gemara doesn't seem to be from the fact that the sofer wouldn't forget to write two oisyes, and as we explained, the actual issue seems to be that we're filling in a gap of roiv of a name, we can't learn tachtim and elyon, and ayin rishash, that in chanami, this is what Rashbam means, that if two letters are roiv, then certainly a sofer wouldn't leave them out, and wouldn't abbreviate this person's name. The Gemara now continues, and we'll discuss a case where one part of the document uses the word safal, which means a large cup or basket, and the other part states that Reuven lent Shimon a kafal, which is derived from the Lashon to fold or to double over, like kefal with a kuf or with a chaf. This refers to a beged or talis that is folded, and ayin Rashbam that brings other pshatim. Rashbam states in Dibur Maskal, kefal mumata talisa shiruin lekapel v'yesh paisun gematriahu safal v'kafal, and some explain that it's actually a gematria of either safal or kafal. This is referring to an amount of money. Sefel would be the gematria of 170, and kefel would be the gematria of 210. And the question is, did Reuven lend Shimon $170 or $210? And Zokt Rashbam, the Hebelhu, this is not a proper pshat. And Rashbam continued, v'hu adin l'chol ha'kelim da'alma, and really, Rav Papa could also be speaking about a case where there was a difference between the ratio of a document and the safe of a document regarding other kelim. However, el nokat hachi mishun de boi lo b'maskona kefel mamala v'sefel mamata ma'u, as we will see, ayin in Taisis diva maschel sefel v'kefel pirsh Rabbeinu Tam, that the word sefel is as if it says samach palgi, which refers to half of 60 or 30. Kefel refers to half of 100 or 50. Taisis brethren brings Rabbeinu Chananel Mefarash shtei lishonis sefel sefel mamish ked pirsh akuntres, and kefel is kliyachet sheshmoy kein like the Rashbam, but idlo shlach a pirsh sefel sol palgo, the loshon of kefel refers to a share of a kavu palgo. In any case, our Gemara continues that Amr Rav Papa states pshitali sefel mumala v'kefel mumato hakol hoylech achat tachton, that if originally the document states the word sefel and then the document states the lashon kefel, then certainly we go based on the second lashon and based on the last lashon in the shtar, as we previously learned in the Mishnah, kosbei mumala mono mumat masayim or mumala masayim mumat mono hakol hoylech achat tachton. Lefizeh, even if the beged would be worth more than the basket, then the same din would apply, as we always go bas to the tachton. This is the way the Avraham Mal learns the sugya. He learns since they wrote the Lashon Kefel second, therefore it shows that the person was chayzer. He really wasn't mafkid a sefel or a basket. Reuven was mafkid a beged by Shimon, and Shimon has to give a beged back to Reuven. However, other Rishonim learn that we're talking about a scenario where the beged was worth less than the basket. Since there's a question as to what the shtar means, therefore Yad Baal Shtar Tachtayna and Amitzu Mechaber Olav Raya, therefore Shimon is only chayev to give a beged back to Reuven, not a basket, since a beged is worth less than the basket. And our Gemara continues that even though this din was Pashit Rapapa, however, by Rapapa had the following Shaila, Kefil Mamayla v'Sefil Mamata Mai, Michajin Lizvah Vaidloi. If close to the beginning of the Shtar states that Reuven lent to Shimon, or Reuven was mafkid by Shimon a beged, and then close to the end of the Shtar, it uses the term Sefel, would we say that we would still be Hilach Acha Tachtoin, Shimon would be Chayiv to give a basket to Reuven? Or would we say that in this specific case we should be choshish that quite possibly Reuven actually lent, or he was mafkid a beged by Shimon? Really, the sefer wrote the word kefel both at the beginning and even at the end of the shtar. However, before the ink had a chance to dry, a fly landed on the bottom of the long leg of the kuf, and it absorbed of the ink of the kuf, and that's why it looks like the sefer wrote the word sefel. And in this case, we wouldn't say hakol hayol hachatachtoin shim would oruvin a beged. And as the Yad Rama states, klima mi ezlin a basa tachtoin oidilma ki ezlin a basa tachton heichad lek lemeima the tachton may kar ki elyon avel avel hocha the ikel lemeima the high sefel the chsiv lemato may kar kefel avel that originally was written as kefel v'zvuv hu the osu b'shas aksiva v'shakl l'ragli the kuf v'sachri l'pume and also closed up the top, and now it looks like a samach. And in this case, we would hold yil mitachton me'elyon ois achas. We should learn the bottom from the top, even in this scenario. However, the Yad Rama explains the suffix as dilma hanimili hechad dimchik ois achas minatachton, aval hechad dichsiv tachton shaper loyalfina midim me'elyon ve'also b'teku ve'chol teku d'mayne chumro l'tevea ve'kul nitba ayin sham. Maisa our Gemara is not pushed to shayla, and the Gemara ends off as a teku and zokt rashbam v'moitzim mechaber olivar raya the kivin mistapik dina lebedina hech yitziu miyada machzik. Rashbam continues v'leidomni l'mamil mut besafik the kaimelon cholkin the hosam ika maisa in yedua lano hechaya kagoyin shosh nagach sapara v'nimtzu ubu betzida uchagoyin nafla bayis ala val imay hilkuch peislan bezin asadin sheachloiku av kol mokum she'osa halacha b'teku. But where does not a shayla as to the metzias, but this is a shayla as to the paskan halacha hoyl ve'in hadionim yoyin lufzik asadin hoyu shoyskin v'machzik yachzik v'mashib yodoy ayin rashbam, and it seems to be some sort of a shooter dino and not based on a psak halacha. Before we finish, let's just point out that the Yad Rama is also bothered that l'chayr, why is it that Rapapa only had a shayla with a sefer wrote kefil mimala and sefil mimata? The shayla is if chashin l'zvuv or not. L'chayr, the same shayla should apply in the first case of Rapapa where the sefer wrote sefil mimala and kefil mimata, as we should also be chayshish that maybe the sefer actually wrote the word sefer in both places, and then a fly came and changed the second samach into a kuf. The Yad Rama explains shlo yitachin shazvuv ein yoch lohisif el limchik bilbad v'lchein lo yitachin sheshina as a sefer l'kefel el bevadei nichtem mitchil l'kefel ayin sham. And we will stop over here.